Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We'll begin with continuing revelations in the investigation of misconduct by a state crime lab chemist. Today, Governor Deval Patrick said he hopes that the state will widen the scope of its investigation.
I fully expect, and indeed I will say I hope, that there are charges.
The investigation concerns the actions of state lab chemist Annie Dukin, who admitted to faking drug sample results, forging signatures, and violating lab protocols. More explicit details of her actions were revealed in state police reports obtained yesterday.
We're joined by WBUR senior reporter David Boeri. And David, Governor Patrick said today, quote, "All of those who are accountable for the impact on individual cases need to be held accountable." So it sounds as if this investigation could be getting even broader.
Inevitably, it's going to get broader, especially because of part of that police investigative report we got yesterday, in which it's reported that Annie Dukin, that state chemist, was getting phone calls from prosecutors, from assistant district attorneys. And they were going around, they were circumventing clear protocol that they need to go to evidence control officers. Instead, they're calling a chemist. This is just way beyond the pale. So they are calling her, and the question is, why? Here is Ed Ryan. He's a defense attorney and former president of the Massachusetts Bar Association.
Let's get the communications. Let's get the emails. Let's find out what was going on. Let's see who the assistant DAs were. I think any assistant DA that was asking for her specifically needs to be interviewed to determine, you know, what the relationship was. Why were they asking for her specifically? We need to get to the bottom of what was going on.
And that certainly is widening the investigation.
So, David, let's take a step back here, because as you were talking about in that state police report that you examined yesterday, there's a bunch of revelations in there, including the fact that apparently Annie Dukin's colleagues had a number of complaints about her work.
For years, according to these interviews with her co-workers and former associates that are in the state police report, there were concerns, suspicions. People saw her do things. One lab associate, quoting from the report, says she was forging his signature, turning samples in that weren't what she stated. And then when those samples were sent back after testing, they'd come back different from the first stuff that came into test under the same control numbers. Another person, a supervisor, says he never saw her in front of a microscope. This goes on and on. The average chemist, according to one supervisor, could do 50 to 150 samples a month. Dukin was doing over 500 a month.
So Annie Dukin has spoken to some investigators. What does she say that she was doing?
Well, she signed a statement for police who interviewed her, and she said, yes, she took things out of the evidence locker. She fabricated results. She did what something's called dry labbing, and dry labbing means that she is not testing this stuff. She's eyeballing it. She's looking at it and saying, yeah, that's cocaine. No test of it. She's also doing something called batching, which is truly mind-boggling. She goes to the evidence locker and it gets a large number of samples from various cases, and then, almost like on Halloween, opens up the candy bag, and then she starts sorting what looks like heroin to her from what looks like cocaine, from what looks like something else. And then she takes all these different bunches that are from number of cases.
So she's mixing evidence.
She's separated out. Then she'll test one out of five bags and declare all the other five the same thing. And when something comes back to her after it goes through what's called spectrometry, which is supposed to analyze what it is, and it says that she's wrong, well, if she thought it was cocaine, she goes to her desk and she has cocaine at her desk and she adds cocaine so that it comes out as cocaine just as she intended. This part of it is amazing. She says in her statement that she signed, "I intentionally turned negative samples into positive samples." So this is why you're looking at a situation where the heavens may be opening up on inmates.
So, David, this sounds like the admitted, in part at least, actions of a single chemist, Annie Dukin. And yet you were saying earlier that her colleagues had complaints about her. Is there any evidence at any time that actions were taken by her supervisors at the lab?
There's no clear action ever taken against her until June 2011, and even then, it's not clear that anything was done. So the concerns that she's doing 500 a month, they do a analysis of her work. They never do any retesting on the drug samples to see if, in fact, she was getting it right. This goes on and on. This is a case, we're told, of a rogue chemist. But a far better case can be made. This is a rogue laboratory that nobody is testing the testers.
Well, we've had several senior people at the lab resign, and also former DPH Commissioner John Auerbach has resigned as well, David. So where does this leave us? There are still more than 30,000 cases hanging in the balance.
That's right. And here's what Annie Ducan told the detectives while they were interviewing her. She said, she told us that she would not be able to tell what cases that had happened to, and that it was a long time ago. She said that maybe if she saw the lab numbers in her notes, she might be able to tell. So this is why Ed Ryan concludes that any case and every case in which she is involved is inherently tainted. And it means that convictions have to be vacated, he says, for anybody involved there. And this gets bigger. There are defense attorneys who have seen this report and the police investigative report and say that it's all the more urgent that the attorney general appoint a special prosecutor in the interest of transparency and appearance.
WBUR senior reporter David Boeri. David, thanks so much.
You're welcome.